Andy. What's on your mind, sir? Sorry for the long wait.
Good. No problem. I have two questions. One is about chromium, and the other is about turmeric. So considering taking 3,000 milligrams of chromium to raise my HDL, but I was a little bit concerned about the side effects regarding kidney and liver, as well as insomnia, because I'm currently having some bouts of insomnia and don't want to do anything to exacerbate that. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. Well, first I'll give you Dr. Richard Anderson's thoughts. And the reason I'm going to give you this particular thought of his anyway is that he is the great guru of chromium research. No kidding. He's been around a long time doing the chromium research. And he tells us that in order to get actually toxic on the chromium, you have to take that chromium to 70,000 micrograms a day. I am not kidding. That's 70,000 micrograms. Now, it usually is available in the stores in 1,000 micrograms, which, as you know, is the same as 1 milligram. So you'd only have to take 70 of them a day to get toxic. All right, now let's get to your specific quantity that you were thinking about. So far, I have never, ever, ever heard anybody using 3,000 micrograms of chromium. Why would they want to do that? Well, among other things, it helps to control type 2 diabetes. Tell me they had any adverse effects from it, sir. And I'm not talking about lethal or dangerous effects. That's the 70,000 microgram level. But at 3,000, I've not heard of anything adverse from anybody. So that's just what I've heard so far.
And it's a substantial enough dose to see a significant see an increase in HDL?
Yes, sir. It should be enough to do that. It usually is.
Okay. And should you take that with food, water, or?
Doesn't much matter, because remember, it's a component of food, but it'll get in. It'll get in without it.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Second question regarding turmeric. Just recently had the PLA2 test done, which is the inflammatory marker, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
I've seen it, yes.
Okay, yeah. So it was at 83, which they considered out of the beyond the I think I can't remember. They wanted it below 75.
Yeah, the so-called recommended range. Yes.
Right. So they're recommending that I increase Crestor from 20 milligrams to 40. I was considering taking about 4,000 milligrams of turmeric. Instead of increasing the Crestor, and I want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, well, now everybody's got me confused, but some people say I confuse easily. One, this is a marker of inflammation, and Crestor is not an anti-inflammatory. It's a reduced my cholesterol sort of thing.
Really?
But it's not an anti-inflammatory, sir. Number two, the best thing for inflammation is called fish oil. Fish oil is one of nature's best anti-inflammatories out there. I'm not going to tell you it's the only one, but it is one of the very few that also contains what are called essential nutrients that are very, very necessary. For example, in fish oil, there's this stuff called DHA, and it's been found over and over again that mommies who swallow fish oil while they're pregnant, their babies, when born and being alive for 2 or 3 years, have better motor skills than the mommies who didn't swallow fish oil. Now, fish oil is also a major anti-inflammatory. I've seen it help to bring just about any inflammatory marker down to normal if it's used in a sufficient quantity. And there's the key, the sufficient quantity. You go ahead.
No, sorry, I didn't interrupt. But yeah, so just to that point, at the time of that test, I was taking 2,000 milligrams of the EPA and 1,000 of the DHA for that. And I don't know if it's maybe the fish oil that's not working or do you think, my question is that sufficient?
No, it's not at all. When the inflammation is above normal range of whatever marker, we need to get out the liquid fish oil. Now, here's why, sir. Those 1,000 milligram capsules of fish oil, it takes 15 of them, I did say 15, to make 1 tablespoon full of oil. Try it yourself. Empty 15 capsules into a tablespoon measure. That's what you'll find. So I recommend that folks get the liquid. And by the way, you probably know this, but I'm going to repeat it anyway for anybody who doesn't. There are so many different flavors of fish oil nowadays. There's So that even the children will swallow them is the point. There's blackberry flavor, there's raspberry flavor, there's lemon flavor, there's all these different flavors of the oil itself in a bottle. And what one wants to do if one has an inflammation, and I'm not kidding at all, and it will not hurt. Overdosing on fish oil is possible, but one has to use about 5 or 6 tablespoons a day. And what's the overdose effect? You cut yourself and you don't stop bleeding real well. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that. But if one uses, until the inflammation is down under control, one uses a tablespoon of fish oil in the morning and a tablespoon at night. And in case you makes you feel irpy, a few people it does, take it with a bunch of food. And we can also use digestive enzymes, which contain a high fraction of lipase, which is the fat digesting enzyme, and that gets rid of the irps. So anyway, we take it twice a day, and next time we go back, if our inflammation is down within normal, which it usually is in the large majority of cases, then we just back off to a tablespoon a day and go back and see if that maintains things. And if it does, you can try cutting it back further, etc.
So can you equate that to EPA and DHA doses?
Not really, sir, because all the manufacturers have different quantities of EPA and DHA in their fish oils. You'll see they're quite variable. So I just look for the one that has the highest amounts per serving, whatever the serving is.
Liquid form, right. But I would assume that the tablespoon would somehow equate to milligrams of each. No?
Nope.
Okay. So just look for liquid form in the highest.
Yeah, and they'll tell you how much EPA and DHA there is in their product per whatever. They sometimes do it per teaspoon, sometimes by tablespoon, sometimes by ounce. You know, there's all kinds of different manufacturers.
Okay, all right. So you would recommend that over turmeric, huh? Okay, because I've heard some great things about turmeric.
Oh, I know. I'm not criticizing turmeric, but remember, you and I can live for at least 100 years without using any turmeric. We cannot live that long without essential fatty acids. That's why they're called essential. So first we want to put in the things that are essential to the body to get the job done.
Okay.
And after that, if they don't work, go to the next thing.
And I assume supplementing that with a can of salmon 3 or 4 days a week would be fine as well.
Of course. Won't hurt a thing. You won't be going too much there.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome, sir, and thank you for calling in, and I think it's time to go to our next break here.